It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Tick. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's two guys hoping for short shorts to come back in style. Andy Swift and Peter Welton.
Lovely ball to Werner, to the byline. The cutback, Hunter de Doy there. So too, Marcus Alonso, would you believe it? Chelsea scored the winning goal in the 92nd minute. Hudson Odoi has been terrific since coming on as a substitute. Pep Guardiola fuming at his side not being awarded a penalty a few minutes ago. They could have sealed the title today, City, but they're going to go down to a third defeat in four home Premier League games.
Hi-de-ho, P1s, and welcome to the Kick Around. Now, normally, we're here Saturdays 2 to 4, but tonight, it is our very special new season preview. Well, hi. For those new here or unfamiliar, my name is Peter, and with me is my soccer talk and BFF, and word around town is that he's had a Slurpee machine installed in his house. The amazing Andy Swift.
Peter, how are you? You ready for some football talk?
I'm all tingly.
It's been a while since we've chatted on air.
It has, because as we were talking with Corby and Bob, a long while ago, you and I made the fatal programming decision to take a two-week hiatus when we thought the calendar of soccer worked in our favor. But alas, it all blew up in our face.
Like, badly.
Yes. Everything went the opposite direction we thought. We thought, why? Wait, do we really want to sit around and talk about U.S. losing to Mexico or the women winning the gold medal
again? Yet another gold medal.
And then, of course, the biggest of all the bombs that we weren't anticipating was the GOAT leaving his club and going somewhere else. So we will get into all of the other stuff that we normally do during the preview show, talking about the upcoming Premier League season. We'll make predictions. We have our friend Lars Siverston from London helping out with his insight on the new season. And the other thing that we have made a decision is that we've been doing this show now, Andy, since 2014. Can you believe we've been doing the Kick Around since 2014?
Summer of 2014.
We are on the precipice of being able to cover our third World Cup.
Wow.
Which is insane. And as we got into the end of last season, along with COVID and everything else, I really began to feel like it was time for us to do a refresh on the show and kind of expand our reach. And you and I had a conversation about the fact that there are so many young Americans that are now finding their careers in leagues in Europe, but specifically Italy and Germany.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track at this point. There's so many of them that it's hard to keep track where everybody is.
Yes. But it's also really difficult for guys like you and I who have real jobs to dedicate so much time to watching all of these leagues. And now that all those other leagues are now also really easy to watch here in the United States, with Paramount Plus showing stuff and ESPN picking up the Bundesliga, so forth and so on, we've decided that we are going to expand our reach a little bit beyond the Premier League and even Major League Soccer, which we obviously talk about quite a bit, to include the Bundesliga and Serie A. And we're going to do that with some friends who are hardcore followers of both of those things.
Experts, as they call it. Pundits.
Tyler Kern, who you've heard on the show before, and Daniel Robertson, who, by the way, has a very particular interesting story as to why he is a follower of Serie A. He's got some professional experience.
That'll be fascinating to talk to Daniel about Serie A. And Serie A particularly important in this regard as well because, as you know, three former FC Dallas Academy players are now playing in Serie A. Three.
It is kind of... Can you imagine being an 18 or 19 or 20-year-old kid who's been goofing off at Stonebriar Mall up in Frisco?
Yeah.
And then 36 hours later, you're hanging out in Rome or Venice?
We have one playing with one of the most iconic players in the history of soccer. We have another one being coached by one of the most iconic coaches in the history of soccer. And another one living in Venice.
Yes. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. Now, the other thing, before we get in, we're going to spend the whole next segment talking about this Messi thing, all right? Because I know everybody wants to hear our opinions on it, and a lot of you have questions that we're going to try to answer as to what really happened and went down. But we should, because we weren't on the air when this happened, mention that it is delicious to watch the U.S. men's national team beat Mexico in a major final for the second time in like 6 weeks. It's ridiculous.
So when they won the Nations League final, it was all like, well, it's Nations League, and that was our A team, and kind of Mexico's A B team, and you know, I don't think we put as much stock in winning that. It was great, as we should now that they actually won the Gold Cup, which Mexico took more seriously. And which,
when you mean by more seriously, they returned with a pretty much A-minus team.
As compared to the U.S. team, which
was clearly
a B team, BC.
Maybe a C team.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to beat Mexico twice in 1 year in two different finals, I think it more important than what those two finals represent, the fact that they won both finals represent an epic moment, I hate to say, in U.S. soccer history, but I think it's another one of those moments that shows that there's progression, at least.
Yeah. Winning is fun, and winning heals all. And when there's so much consternation and anger and upsetness about Greg Berhalter and how he got the job and whether or not he was doing a good job or not, I think it's very clear now that the players have bought into what he's doing. It is working to some degree. There is progress.
We were two of the biggest critics, right?
Sure. And so lots of good things are going on. To win, to take that roster and beat Mexico in a game that means something. I mean, Alexi Lalas cried on national television.
He did.
That's how big of a deal it was. So
he gets up for that rivalry game, though.
Yeah, I don't want to drag this out too long. It was just really cool to see that happen. And also, Andy, I should hand you a moment of congratulation as your Canadians women's team.
I was looking up here.
Won the Olympic gold.
Yeah, Olympic gold. Look
as all of those highfalutin, big personality,
a 1-0 win here, a PK win there.
Blew it.
Yeah. Well. It was an older team.
All right, so we got this extra segment. We have now burned it. When we come back, we will discuss the whole Lionel Messi situation on the Kicker Round. Andy, it only took us 7 years. But I will also like to promote that we have finally launched our very own website.
Yeah.
TheKickAround.com.
Are you going to
manage? As we so cleverly named it.
Are you going to manage it? Who's going to manage it?
Okay. We'll take care of it. I've designed it to be pretty low maintenance.
Yeah, okay.
Or
why
pass it off on to Sam.
Huh?
Well, my name's not on the website.
Oh.
So,
now here we go.
We'll put past episodes up there that you can download. You should subscribe to the podcast. And probably most importantly, the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance is right there on the new website, so you can go find yourself a club.
How does that work then? Because I don't have a Serie A club, I need to go and find myself one.
We'll do that here on the show.
Okay.
But if you just want to, without trying to contact us, and you want to just find a club, we've got a wheel for the Premier League, we've got a wheel for the Bundesliga, and we've got a wheel for Serie A.
And it's the honor system, right? I mean, people can call us and say, or tweet us and say, this is where it landed.
Yes.
And they'll be. It's not like where it landed the eighth time
Right.
I spend it.
There's
right?
a bit of there's an honor system.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
There is an honor system that if you somehow get stuck with, you know,
Burnley.
VfL Bochum in the Bundesliga, yes, you have to stick with Bochum. All right. Now we really need to get to the thing that everybody has been talking about, so much so that I have been my head is dizzy from the mainstream American news coverage that this has received, that Messi has left Barcelona and signed a deal with Paris Saint-Germain in France. Mm-hmm.
Paris Saint-Germain.
And I'm going to ask you, Andy,
yes.
if I was to give you one word to sum up your feelings of this entire episode, what would that one word be?
Now, despite
crap.
Me being surprised
That's
when
not
I,
one word.
When I saw
said
the
one
tweet,
word.
Inevitable. Because you knew it. This is going to happen one day. And it was like, oh, okay, it happened finally. It was inevitable.
Yeah, that's a good
right.
Yeah, that's
like when
a really
you saw the
word.
Tweet, you were surprised at the timing. I think we were all kind of surprised. We were sleeping on this because we were
told
assuming,
that they had signed a deal.
Yes, right. And so I think that's what caught us by surprise. But then when you thought about it, it was like, oh yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I really felt ignorant because it was a mere week or two prior to the announcement of his of the. So for people who don't know, what happened was Lionel Messi has been paid. Well, first off, he's been at Barcelona for like almost his entire career. Well, no, his entire career.
Yeah.
At 20-something years. And he is the greatest of all time, and he's their best player, and he is the most iconic player in Barcelona history. Mm-hmm. And he was also making the most massive assload of money possible that was creating all sorts of financial havoc.
Yeah, when you add COVID to that, it was just blowing up Barca's books.
But Andy, you blew me away a week or two prior to this announcement when you revealed to me for the very first time, because I don't watch a lot of La Liga, that La Liga actually has some spending controls that I was unaware of.
They have a sort of salary cap. It's kind of a skewed salary cap because the amount of money you can spend on players is dependent on how much revenue you bring in. So to put it in baseball terms, where there is a salary cap in the U.S. or luxury tax cap, the Yankees could spend a lot more money because they bring in more revenue. The Oakland A's could hardly spend any money. So it doesn't seem like a fair salary cap. And it really helped Real Madrid and Barcelona spend more and more and more. You could only spend on players 70% of what you brought in revenues. And Barcelona was at 110% heading into this offseason, which is crazy. And that was at with Messi willing to take a 50% salary cut.
And he was making like $100 million
a year?
He
was making a gross amount, and then he was going to take a 50% pay cut, and that was only bringing Barca down to 110%. So they still had a ways to go. Management knew this because they have the books, and they're looking at the books, and they're like, oh, this is not going to work out. They're not telling Messi. They're not telling the media. They're not telling anybody. And then Messi finally arrived on a Thursday after he took a vacation in Miami, by the way, and then in Mallorca. He arrived, met his dad, who flew in from Argentina expecting to sign this deal, and that's where they told him, we're not going to be able to make the books work. And then they just put it out on Twitter. It's not going to work. And they blamed the league for having these restrictions. But the fact of the matter is that when the COVID situation blew up their books, just like it blew up the books of a lot of teams around the world, Barca didn't react well enough, and they kept spending instead of trying to get more fiscally responsible, like a lot of other clubs are doing. And then this is why now they face this reality. So part of it is ineptness.
There's a part of me that believes that the people in the front office of Barcelona are relieved that this is gone down.
They finally have the arbitration.
They finally have the messy, like it hurts to rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, so there's a new president, and I think he is finally relieved of getting rid of the problem, perhaps, because he can blame the past president. Right.
Yeah.
Like
this is all. I mean, if you go back and do any kind of reading, the amount of ridiculous trouble that Barcelona got themselves in with the spending they've been doing for the last 6-7 years,
look,
is mind bending.
They are the second most valuable soccer brand in the world, despite themselves, because they have the best academy. So they're always bringing up players. They don't have to spend on players as much. They have automatic annual Champions League revenue because they're always qualifying for Champions League.
But they still burned it.
And they sell more merchandise than just about any other club in the world. And they still burn through it. They still can't manage their books. So at the end of the day, the finger has to be pointed back at their management.
Yeah. The upcoming La Liga season is going to be interesting to watch, just simply to see if the whole club goes into some sort of weird tailspin. And because other clubs have been playing better and is it possible Barcelona doesn't qualify for Champions League at the end of this? I mean, that's all going to be interesting to watch. Now, the other side of this, and the part that I'm most conflicted about, because I really, when Argentina and Messi won Copa America, that was such a great scene, right? It was wonderful to see. And I think we all would really like to see Messi. Well, okay, you're Chilean.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
I do believe the general populace would love to see Messi win another Champions League as he's at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. But man, going to PSG is the most cliche, like 12-year-old kid playing FIFA setup result out of all of this. Right. And
they're just building a super team at will. Like they've been trying to win Champions League, PSG has, for years. And they keep failing, and so they keep adding another superstar on top of superstar.
They are easily the most unlikable soccer club in the world.
But the problem is that there are financial rules in supposedly in play that would prevent them from being able to do this.
Well, except that they got all the, so here's, we should also play some, put some context here. So PSG is by far the easiest, the best team in France. And they have a really easy life playing in Ligue 1 in France. And now Messi's going there. But prior to Messi, and this is the thing everybody's forgetting, they signed Italy's best goalkeeper in Donnarumma. They signed Liverpool's best midfielder in Gigi Wijnaldum. And they signed Real Madrid's arguably best and most historic center back in Ramos.
Yeah, that was on the cheap. But and then, oh, they also have Neymar.
And they have Neymar and Mbappe.
And Mbappe.
And so when you look at the 11 that's out there that they're talking about rolling out soon, you could probably play those guys in any formation, and they're going to win on a regular basis. Now, whether or not they can make this win Champions League.
Well, I think they're the favorites now if they keep Mbappe.
But it's but the whole thing just reeks because the club itself, and again, for those who are listening that are not familiar with PSG, they're essentially owned by a nation state, Qatar.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who feel like that their ownership at this club is nothing more than a vehicle to sports wash all of the things that people don't like about Qatar.
They're owned by World Cup 2022.
Right.
Yeah, and Messi now will play in the World Cup for sure and all this stuff. What the Sheik or whatever who announced, they had a press conference to announce Messi, and what he said was, because all eyes are on them and the questions are now being asked, how can they afford this within the financial fair play? He said that within 3 days of selling merchandise, they've completely recouped, and they recouped those expenses that they're going to pay him, and that their revenues are so high. You just need to look at our books and to realize how high our revenues are. It still doesn't make sense. So they still keep getting away with it because UEFA turns a blind eye.
Oh, that's for sure. The reality. Yeah, the parent organization. Because this will create a ton of revenue, advertising revenue. It is the best analogy I can think of is the NBA super teams, where LeBron and a group of guys all decide they all want to play on the same team versus the really heartwarming story of Giannis up and playing in a smaller at a smaller team
and deciding to stay there and stick it out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I love Messi. I'm sorry to. That he, you know, he didn't get to stay at Barcelona, but to go to PSG really just adds this weird whole.
So now they're the evil empire. They're the evil empire, and now Pep.
The evil empire.
Yeah,
yeah.
PSG, and now Pep, who really wants Champions League really badly, is like now we got to get through them. They're going to be a hard team to beat. But Pochettino went from coaching Spurs 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. To now having that team under his watch.
The only thing, and I was talking about this with Lars, who we're going to hear from in a second, is the one thing, if you want to throw a question, like is this going to work? Pochettino as a coach is known for systems that are based on pressing.
That are based on what?
Pressing. Mm. And he now has a front three of Neymar, Mbappe, and Messi that, depending on which one you're looking at, is well known for being okay at pressing at best, and at worst, you've got a guy that just doesn't press at all.
Yeah, but if you're him, don't you tweak your tactics a
You've got
bit?
Some work to do, yeah, for sure.
So it's not automatic is what he's saying. So, yeah, because they have to play the games and injuries and all that, but if they keep those three up front, at worst, it's going to be, as much as you hate them...
It's a spectacle.
You're going to have to watch them play because it's, you know, a spectacle.
Yeah.
So, going back to Barca, by the way, their salary range now is, if you had to guess, like an EPL team that they're comparable to now, where would you guess? Would you guess like top four team?
You mean in terms of their total salary?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably, you know, Leicester's or...
Aston Villa.
Really?
Barcelona will spend as much as Aston Villa.
That is ridiculous. The last thing note about this to ponder on is, remember when UT and OU decided to leave the Big 12 and everybody talked about how much that was going to cost the communities of all the other Big 12 teams, and they were talking about the millions of dollars in revenue and the jobs that are lost. Yeah. Think about La Liga. Think of all the players La Liga has lost over the last few years. Messi being the the biggest name
of one of them. Yeah.
Ronaldo, yeah. Neymar, yeah. all of these guys have
Xavi
left La Liga.
Retired and,
yeah, and so La Liga as a league, we were joking about this with Bob and Corby a little while ago. That is another storyline to watch: is what happens to that league. Yeah. Does it go through some sort of weird phase?
Real Madrid is having financial issues too. Yeah. Not as bad as Barca, but yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. So Messi is off to Paris, if you haven't heard the news. But when we come back, we'll finally get to the job at hand. The new season is upon us, the Premier League. So we're going to bring in our good friend from London, Lars Sivertsen, and we'll talk all about that next here on The Kick Around. Hi there, P1. While you're listening to the new season preview, you may be hearing us talk about a particular club in the Premier League or Serie A or the Bundesliga or anywhere else and thinking to yourself, man, I need a jersey for whatever club. Well, I've got a new place for you to consider, soccer90.com. It's a great website. They've got all kinds of stuff from clubs all over the world. And if you go on their site and you don't find it, you may want to just shoot them a note and ask. They'll work real hard to find it for you. Juve, Chelsea, Arsenal, Barcelona, Chivas, yep, probably even PSG Messi jerseys are somewhere on the way. You can find them all at soccer90.com. And if you use the code KICKAROUND at checkout, you get 25% off your purchase. So go check it out, soccer90.com. And if you want a special treat, go check out the actual physical brick-and-mortar store in person in Frisco, right next door to the Hall of Fame at Toyota Stadium. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Kick Around. This is our annual, very special new season preview. And because it is our league of choice, the thing that really got us in the door here at the Ticket. Yes, it's true. The only reason why we're even doing this show is because of West Ham United and Jeff Catlin.
And Mike Reiner.
I suppose you could say that.
And Matt Birmingham, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate
you. You don't even
you.
Have a team.
Yeah, Matt, sure do you want a team? Do you want to spin the wheel?
I already did.
Who did you get?
I got West Ham.
Oh, no, you did not.
Oh,
I watched
right.
half of one game and then lost interest in sports.
I think we need to recast.
It's your
him.
Boss's team, man. You need to.
That's not how the wheel works, Sam.
He hasn't qualified yet. He hasn't hit his rookie minimum. I think
no,
we can recast him.
No.
I won't watch.
Spin the
know.
Wheel. That's right. That's the
yeah,
other
it also
thing.
Doesn't matter.
He's also proven his willingness to participate in the game, and it's zero.
He's the master of bits with no payoff.
All right, so
I'll do it if you want to burn a segment. But
Friday is the beginning of the new 2021-2022 English Premier League. We've got lots to talk about. Now, initially for this show, we had Lars live from London lined up. But if you do your time math, it is currently like 1:37 in the morning. And he was initially willing to do that, but life got in the way and he wasn't able to do this live. So yesterday, Lars and I recorded some audio and I asked him to produce for us three main things that he thinks everybody needs to think about when it comes up to the new Premier League season. And so we will kick off with his first.
So the first topic I wanted to raise with you guys is a club-specific one. It's of a specific club. It's of Manchester City coming off a Premier League title win, which wasn't their most swashbuckling, I think we can all agree. They weren't quite as fun to watch as they have been sometimes.
By the way, swashbuckling is such a Lars word.
It's a wonderful word.
I love it.
But they got there, and they got there during this difficult, compressed pandemic season. They had to press less than before. You know, Guardiola had to change his formation, his tactics a little bit. They've not rested on their laurels at all. They've not said, well, we got to the Champions League final, we won the Premier League, we're the best team in the land, we keep going. They've taken this moment to do the opposite. They've gone into the market and set a new British transfer record, bringing in Jack Grealish for 100 million of our pounds, which is a huge fee for Jack Grealish. And there is they might still add a certain the Sir Harold of Kane. So what does this do to the team, I think, is really interesting.
Which, by the way, Sir Harold of Kane is pretty great. We should start calling him that.
Okay.
You don't agree?
Sure. Okay. Say that fast.
There's often
a bunch of
assumption,
time.
You know, add good players to already good team. You know, watch them go. You know, team go brr, which they might do. But I think we are talking about a Man City team who are, you know, notoriously sort of structured in the sense that Guardiola, genius though he is, he has a very clear idea of where everyone should run, what everyone should do. I don't know if you saw the Amazon documentary, it was kind of inert, but some of the best moments were like with him just being really intense and going, come on, guys, we've got to do this, we've got to do that.
Just like
he is a really intense guy, partially because he has this exact idea, oh, you should run here and he should pass there. Now, into this pretty structured attack, I think we all know what we think a Man City team attack looks like. We've seen this 100 times before. You're adding Jack Grealish, who is great. Don't get me wrong. He's a fantastic player. I really like him. But he is a slightly chaotic player. And one of the interesting things is that over the years, while he is very precise and likes his team to play just so, Guardiola has had this tendency of wanting to add agents of chaos into his own structure by signing Zlatan Ibrahimovic at Barcelona.
He's got a point.
He wanted to bring Alexis Sanchez, a very chaotic player, to Man City.
Has he asked a question?
Riyad Mahrez, to an extent, has brought some of that. And he's certainly bringing a very sort of chaotic player in
British Bob.
So for a long time, Guardiola has been a little bit obsessed with young Jack with the fancy hair and the nice calf muscles. He clearly sees something in him, something important that will add something big to this team. I'm really intrigued to see how this mix goes. And if you add big Harry Kane into it, how will he fit in as a typical number nine, as someone who drops off a lot like he does at Tottenham? Will he then basically run into the areas of the pitch where Kevin De Bruyne and Jack Grealish wants to operate? I don't know. I'm really fascinated to see if this will work, if this will gel, or is it just a case of throwing big players into an already good team and team go brrr and they win and everything's fine? Or will they maybe upset the balance a little bit? I don't know. That's one I'll be looking at very closely.
So I think one point we need to make before we talk a little bit more about Man City is that how it relates to PSG.
I actually edited that answer down.
How it relates to PSG. Because they're getting Grealish. They might get Kane. How are they doing it? If we're going to blame PSG for doing their things. And I think that's the point, too, is that they're going to be investigated this year. There's still an ongoing investigation, right?
Yeah, that whole thing is so off in the weeds that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to it. I think the Grealish addition is mystifying to me because of the type of play. Grealish is going to have to fundamentally change a lot of how he plays this game to fit in what we think the Pep Guardiola system is. So who's changing? Is it Grealish or is it Pep?
Well, we saw Pep adapt last year.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in finding out.
Yeah, and so if you were talking about Pochettino, is he going to adapt and change in PSG? Or who's more likely to do it? Or Pep at Man City? I would say Pep is more likely to tweak things more effectively to get the most out of players that don't necessarily fit his system perfectly.
And we haven't even talked about the whole Kane situation.
Right.
Like his addition.
We don't even know if that's going to happen or not.
All right. Here's Lars' point number two.
So the second thing is a bit more general and a big picture. And God knows I'd be happy. I've just done all my sort of preview articles. And I understand a debate that's often had over on your shores and on these shores as well is the question of who's the best league in the world. Is it Premier League? Is it La Liga? Some people might say, oh, the Bundesliga, yeah, it's very fun. Some people like Serie A is tremendous. What we're seeing in the transfer window this summer, I guess it's very tempting to bring up this discussion because it feels like certainly this summer the Premier League is kind of pulling away in some ways. The amount of money that the Premier League clubs have been able to still spend, even coming out of a pandemic season when it feels like almost every club across the continent, aside from Paris Saint-Germain, are trying to cut costs and trying to get rid of people, the Premier League have still been able to spend money, have still been able to bring people in. And it's been more stark this season than we're used to. But this is kind of a development that started a few years back. There was a big jump in TV deal. And money isn't everything in sports. But, you know, it can be an awful lot. And we're still seeing this now. I mean, the contract Wilfried Zaha is on at Crystal Palace is more than, again, some Champions League clubs will be paying their best players in other leagues. And what it is the extraordinary television income that the Premier League generates. And keeps generating, is, I think, creating a bit of a gap there. I don't think we'll see, you know, the Premier League, four Premier League teams in the semi-finals of the Champions League for all eternity, because that's not how knockout competitions work. Similarly, in the Europa League, I've flirted with this thought for a long time. Like, if the Premier League want to turn themselves into the NBA of football, and with the pandemic and everything being the way it is, it feels more like that this summer than it has many years previously.
I agree with him that I think now we are going to see the pendulum swing to where the Premier League becomes the even more dominant, yeah, in terms, not just in ratings and money, but in terms of teams dominating European competitions.
Yeah, where they're really flexing those TV dollars now. And we're seeing Real Madrid and Barca, two of the big, big spenders in world soccer, not going to be able to spend as much money now. That's even going to make the Premier League stronger, just with those two clubs not spending as much.
And the other thing that we haven't talked about is this is the year that we get introduced to the League's Cup, which is the third European tier.
Yeah.
I've forgotten which club is playing. Is it West Ham that's playing in that?
No, it's Spurs.
Spurs, right. So watching it, you could definitely see an opportunity where an English Premier League team ends up winning the League's Cup, the Europa Cup, yeah, and Champions, yeah, League.
I think he has a good point, though. Those tournaments are a little different, and anything can happen, but they're favorites heading in, except for PSG.
All right. Now, we have one more Lars big 3 point to get to.
Okay.
But Lars has a lot to say, so we're going to save it because we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Lars's three things, and then Andy and I have some stuff we want to point out about the Premier League, and we'll do that next here on The Kick Around.
Peter Welpton and Andy Swift have been busy baking their own version of Ted Lasso's biscuits and handcrafting hot soccer opinions on the start of the EPL weekend. This is a special edition of The Kick Around on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Tick.
I bet those biscuits are tasty. And by the way, we'll get back to reviewing Ted Lasso on our regular Saturday shift, which we return to this weekend, Saturdays 2 to 4. All right, now we mentioned the new website, thekickaround.com. If you scroll to the bottom, the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance is there for both England, Germany, and Italy. And I got a tweet from @MarkZSmith1, who asked us to spin the wheel. So here we go. It's time now to spin
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
All right, here we go, Mark. Let's see what happens right here with the wheel. I guess we didn't get the sound effects this time.
We got halfway there.
All right, Mark, I don't know how I feel about this, but you have been assigned Crystal Palace.
Oh. Oh.
You are now a Palace man, speaking of Ted Lasso. So congratulations, @MarkSmith1.
So Palace's, the facilities that they shoot and tape Ted Lasso at, right? The,
yes.
Yeah, locker room area.
Selhurst stadium, Park is, yeah, well, stadium, just the stadium. Yeah. I think they are actually using somebody else's facilities for,
yeah,
training,
okay,
and stuff. But yeah.
So, yeah, so there you
so
go.
There you go. By the way, if you want to spin the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance, you can do it, again, on our website at The Kick Around. At the bottom of the page, they're all down there. And you could send us a picture of which teams you get. That would be delightful. All right, it is time once again to dive back into talking about this upcoming season with the Premier League. We were listening to some audio cuts that our friend Lars Siverston did for us talking about this. This third point that he brings up, I think, is very important because I think it's going to create some disagreement between Andy and I.
Now, the third and last topic, again, a little bit big picture, but we'll zoom in a bit on the way there, which is, sorry, for a long time in this league, we had a top four who were in the Champions League every season, and it was the same four teams. It was Manchester United, it was Arsenal, it was Liverpool, it was Chelsea. And there, sort of, it felt like they had a stranglehold on the league that would never be broken, you know, as someone who's a Tottenham fan myself. You know, every season was trying to get a little bit closer to those teams, and you just couldn't do it because the gap was big, and the gap kept being consolidated by the Champions League money. Then, of course, the top four became the top six. How did that happen? Well, Man City had some new owners from Abu Dhabi who had a lot of money to spend and could afford to basically throw money at it until it worked. And that's kind of discounting. I'm not saying there was no element of skill involved, but that's also kind of what happened. Whereas Tottenham managed to break into the top six by appointing Mauricio Pochettino by finding an iconic player in Harry Kane, basically behind the sofa. He was this sort of guy, young kid from the academy who wasn't even that highly rated, who suddenly became very good. Like, a lot of sort of slightly fortunate things happened to Tottenham alongside the fact that they made a series of very canny signings. And what I'm saying is, yeah, the top four became the top six. Now, the top six, I think, were always going to be inherently unstable, because in the top six, there were always going to be two clubs who didn't make the Champions League. So you're always going to have two clubs who were a bit angry and unhappy with their coach and everything. So that, I don't think that could ever be a very settled cartel in the same way it felt like the old top four were. But they have been the top six for a few seasons. I'm looking at this season now, and I'm not sure we have a top six anymore. And I'm looking at the betting markets as well, and they're quite certain we don't. And what I mean by that is it looks like we have a four of the two Manchester clubs, plus Liverpool, plus Chelsea, who are in a significantly stronger position now than Arsenal and Tottenham.
So I believe that he's correct when he talks about the idea, because we've talked about the big six for a long time. But there is a clear delineation, at least to me, Andy, that it is, and not in any particular order, it's the two Manchester clubs, it is Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And that's
this year.
Yes.
And he talks about the top six in a historical context, that Arsenal and Spurs joined that group as the top six. And then there's a little bit more with him, but he talks about Leicester really making it seven. He feels there are really seven teams now you call the top seven, because Leicester's joined them because they finished fifth 2 years in a row.
And they won this thing not that long ago.
Yes. But then I would argue that if you're going to do that and include Leicester, why are we including Arsenal in the top six or seven anymore in a historic context when they haven't finished higher than eighth 2 years in a row and not in the top four in like 6 years?
I agree.
But they're historic and they probably should be included in that top six or seven.
All right. So to me, I think this breaks down into five groups. I think the league this year breaks into, and I'm going to label them A through E. A is the four that we talked about. Mm-hmm. B is the next group of teams, Tottenham, Arsenal.
Don't say them, but how many?
There's five teams in there.
Okay.
And then C is another five teams.
Okay.
And then D is four teams, and then the bottom is a group of five more teams.
So for you, it's very clear, you know, four, five, five, four, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to disagree with you. I think the top four, I think there's general consensus there. Us, the experts, us that don't know much, we still think that. I think most fans would agree the top four are the top four this year, the way that the teams are shaping up. But from 5 through 11, and that's how many? That's seven teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think those 5 through 11 can be, you can predict those in any kind of order and you wouldn't be dumb. And you could make sense for those teams finishing anywhere in there. For example, Leeds, West Ham, Villa, you're not counting any of those teams in your top, in your next five, are you?
No. No, in my top five, in no particular order, I've got Leicester, Leeds, Arsenal, and Tottenham.
Leicester,
in my second tier.
Leeds, Arsenal, and Tottenham. Yeah. Okay, your next four.
I'm sorry. Yeah, my next four.
Yeah.
And then my five after that, in no particular order, are Villa, Wolves, West Ham, Everton.
So you don't believe West Ham is worthy of a top eight finish? Or do you even be considered a top eight or 10 team? Or Villa?
Again, I'm with you that you could probably throw this in any kind of mix
because
you want
to me,
but to make predictions, you got to come up with a decision.
Yeah, no, I agree. You can at some point then say this team will be seventh, eighth. But to me, this is a story this year in the Premier League, and I think it's going to make it really fun to follow that teams 5 through like 11 or 12, 11, and that includes your Everton, Sam. There's going to be a lot of back and forth there. Who's from 5th to 11th, you know, week in and week out, who is in different positions in that range?
Yeah.
And I think West Ham is, I think they have a legit chance to finish top six.
I agree with you that you could take any of these teams in the top, after the top four, if you have 5 to 12 or 11, you could throw them in a bin and come out and probably have a chance of being correct.
Yeah, that's why for me it's not four and then four. For me, it's four and then
where,
like seven.
I would say yes, but here's where I break apart from that. I do think that there is a difference in spending and a difference in overall just kind of my sense of where these teams are headed.
Okay, so let me ask you this, right? Because mm-hmm. that makes sense what you say. Let's take Spurs versus Villa and those two things you just said. Where is Spurs headed, particularly if they lose Kane? Where are they headed? And overall philosophy, okay. coaching hire, and who they're getting. And Villa, who lost Grealish, but who have signed...
Buendia, and they...
Yeah, so at worst, they're treading what? And they finished 11th last year. There's no reason why they can't finish top 10, even losing Grealish.
So, that is a fantastic point, because what complicates all of this is the same thing that drives both you and I nuts at the beginning of every season, which is there's so much of this story to be written over the course mm-hmm. of this next several weeks because the transfer window
right,
remains
yeah.
open. And so much can change. Yeah. Again, just to pick the one thing, the Harry Kane piece of this, if Harry Kane doesn't go and stays at Tottenham,
then
how much does that change Tottenham's
right.
fortunes? Or how much does it not? I mean,
Tottenham or an unhappy Harry Kane, though,
right.
what does that
Because
do?
There's been some talks of them signing some players yeah. from outside, and like, wow, they're already spending money that they're going to bring in from Harry. Or
but they haven't
are
signed
they,
him.
Or are they adding on,
yeah.
right? Or are they spending money and keeping him?
This is the other question. Where do you put Arsenal? And I know that we'll get to it in predictions, but man, what a difficult team to predict, right?
Absolutely.
So,
I thought Leicester was an interesting one until Fofana broke his leg.
What a huge loss.
Yes, but now they've signed Vestergaard from Southampton.
What a great signing. See, that's my point. Teams 5 through 11, there's a lot of that in there. And then Leeds. Our Leeds. Our team,
yeah.
other than our favorite team. Because of Bielsa, man, can they finish top 6? I think they can. But every team now heads into Leeds knowing who they have to play. Year two in the Premier League is different, right? There's always that little bit of a sophomore slump, and will they experience that? So we don't know where they'll finish. 5 through 11 or 12 is going to be a jumbled mess, and it's going to be fun.
All right, so let me ask you about the top 4, because this is the part of the story that I really struggled to figure out how I want to end up putting them in
yeah.
order, okay?
Yes.
Now, City getting Grealish is an amazing story, and I personally think they way overspent for him. I really like Jack Grealish mm-hmm. as a player, but to my point earlier, who's going to change? Is it Grealish is going to change how he plays,
yeah,
or
right.
is Pep going to change his system
yeah.
to accommodate Grealish? And again, where does Grealish play? Does he play centrally? Do you push him off and left, and what does that mean for Foden and Sterling?
He's an agent of chaos.
An agent of chaos,
right.
yes.
Okay.
Chelsea. Chelsea just signed Lukaku. Again, that's a signing that's weird to me.
I know. You've told me this off air.
Because Man United had him, and he wasn't great, and he didn't feel loved. He goes to Inter Milan. He suddenly becomes this amazing nine and is beloved in Milan. Like, that is
yeah.
where it all went right for him,
well,
and now he's
yeah.
gone. And will he be able to do the pressing and all of the work that Tuchel wants?
Yes.
Tuchel wants.
So he bagged goals pre-Man United. He bags goals for his national team. He's bagged goals in Italy. And now he's coming back to a team that is very offensive-oriented.
But it's a team that is so intense.
So Giroud, was he a presser?
Well, but he also came on late. Like, he wasn't a starter for Chelsea.
Right, because he was older. So this is a younger Giroud that can fit in the system. I think Tuchel will do it right. I think Lukaku's going to score some goals.
Oh, I don't doubt he's going to score a lot of goals. I just wonder if he is the great... I'm just asking the question. Is he really the great fit that Chelsea really needs? Maybe he is. But based on all the other players, and again, what does this mean for Pulisic? What does this mean for Havertz?
Yeah.
What does this mean for Werner?
So
it's just an addition. Like, this is a team overflowing with attacking talent.
If I hear you right, and I think that I do, City has issues with Grealish. Chelsea has issues with Lukaku. You're just setting it up so your United win the title, aren't you?
No, I knew it. No. Now, that's what I want to get into. So now United's bought a couple of nice players. They get the center back, Varane, who's going to get announced tomorrow. They got Sancho that's finally there. The pieces, you know, Pogba now apparently is not going anywhere, that Messi's taking all the money in Paris.
Yeah, right.
I still think the position they needed to fill was a holding mid, because McFred isn't cutting it all the time. They still haven't filled that role. But that's a lot of additions. The team that really hasn't spent any money, with the exception of the center back,
right?
But they're getting a center back.
And Young, he's the future. He's future.
I'm not predicting doom for Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question, is it too easy to assume Liverpool will just put all the pieces back together and again contend for the title? Or is some of the stuff that we saw happen last season with Liverpool going to continue into this particular season?
Liverpool, no new signings, same team, same nucleus, and lost Wijnaldum. It's an older team, one more year of Klopp, and we know how that wears on you. Liverpool is going to be good. They're going to be a top four team. I really do think. I don't think the title's in the cards for them this year. But Europe is there, and that's big for Liverpool.
Now, we were talking about this with Bob when we were on with the Hardline earlier, and Bob was kind of being dismissive of the loss of Wijnaldum and how suddenly now Wijnaldum's this magic unicorn that Liverpool lost. And he was suggesting that Thiago was really a solution for Liverpool. My perception is Thiago really never delivered the goods.
Not a solution, but another weapon that they can now safely go to and have in their arsenal. Because you have midfielders now coming back to the midfield that were playing in the back because of the injuries, and Thiago was kind of playing out of position within the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he can play more naturally now with Henderson holding down that position. Wijnaldum's going to be missed, because he was youngish compared to some of these other guys.
Man, I'm telling you, when I watched him play in the Euros and he was playing a completely different
midfield
position.
He was playing the 10.
I was like, where did this come from? That is amazing.
And now he's going to play a different position with PSG.
Yeah.
Too. He's going to clean up the mess behind the three unpressing fours, as you call them.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to take a break from the Premier League. We're going to save up our predictions for the end of the show, but we will predict the top six or seven teams and the teams that get relegated. Mm-hmm. And we even have Lars's predictions as well, which are somewhat surprising, believe it or not. But when we come back, we're going to dive off into the Bundesliga with the good Tyler Kern next here on the Kick Around. By the way, Andy, if you just want to throw this into consideration while you're thinking about your predictions, Chelsea did win a trophy today. They won the Super Cup.
They're unstoppable.
They beat Villarreal. That's the Champions League winner versus the Europa Cup winner.
Has Tuchel lost any trophies with Chelsea? Oh, yeah, the FA Cup final.
And it went to penalty kicks. Okay. Pulisic took the sixth kick and scored it.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, he subbed in Kepa.
For the PK
to
shootout?
To take the PKs, because he believed that he actually had the stats of being better. And he did save the final PK,
so,
and they won
off.
6-5 on PK. So congratulations to the Blues as they won the much vaunted and much desired Super Cup.
Will this affect your predictions?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see till the end of the show.
Okay.
All right. Right now on the Ticket Buyers Barricade Hotline is our good friend and lover of all things Bundesliga, the amazing Tyler Kern. Hello, Tyler.
Guten Tag, boys.
Man, you sound like you're here in my head.
Plus, you sound German.
Right? I know. Just so German. So German right now. I'm feeling it flowing through my veins.
We love
straight Kolsch.
We love you so much, Tyler. We've decided that we're going to make you a regular thing on the Kick Around, and we're going to let you talk Bundesliga on the regular. Would you like to do that?
I would love to do that. Nothing would make me happier than being the chief Bundesliga correspondent for the Kick Around.
All right. Since and by the way, we have a Bundesliga Wheel of Allegiance now.
Do you have a favorite team, Tyler?
Borussia Dortmund. That's where I go. That's
so
where I go.
Right.
I know.
Yeah. My producer is asking me to ask you who your favorite EPL team is.
Oh, well, so we were talking about this off the air, but I've always sentimentally leaned towards Everton. I think primarily because of the Tim Howard years and that sort of thing. So
you know what? I'm not surprised.
An Everton fan.
I'm not surprised because you persuaded Peter and I to root for Union Berlin. So I can see how you like those mid-table teams that really end up doing nothing. So, yeah, totally get it.
All right.
I love it when people share in my misery, right?
So, Tyler, you are now the official kick-around Bundesliga correspondent. What are the big things that people, A, P1s, should be looking out for in this upcoming Bundesliga season? Does it start this weekend?
No, the 13th.
It does. Yeah. This weekend.
Yeah. Why are you confusing us like this, Andy? So it starts this weekend. So A, what should the P1, if they're not into the Bundesliga, what should they know? And B, what are the real big things they should be looking for in this brand new season?
Yeah, a couple of quick primers real quick is that you can find all Bundesliga matches on ESPN Plus. If you don't already have ESPN Plus and you are a soccer fan and listening to this show, it's a steal, right? I mean, it's an absolute steal. So yes, go get it. You can get all Bundesliga games on ESPN Plus. And the other oddity to the Bundesliga is that they have 18 teams in their top flight rather than 20 like the rest of the... You know what? I couldn't find a good answer to that. I honestly have no idea. Yeah.
honesty.
You know, thank you. Only the cream of the crop makes it to the Bundesliga. That's my answer.
Go. Okay.
That's just a quick aside. But first big thing that everyone should probably know about the Bundesliga is that Bayern Munich have won 9 straight titles. If you are a regular listener to this show, you probably know about Bayern Munich because of their Champions League success, all that sort of thing. So the biggest question is, can anyone actually dethrone Bayern Munich this season? This ties a record for top 5 leagues in Europe with 9 straight titles, tying them with Juventus, who saw their run end last season. So can Bayern Munich overcome that hump and get to 10 consecutive titles in a row? This has happened under 6 different managers, lots of overturn, you know, different things like that. It hasn't been this one consistent, it's been this coach. It's not a Brady Belichick situation, right?
That sounds really
different managers.
Boring, by
so
the way.
So why
Tyler?
Should we watch this league, Tyler?
Well, so there are some good challengers coming up, and for their part, Bayern Munich is under a new manager, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But the challengers, I think, are particularly exciting to look at and to think about, and can anyone actually beat them, right? And that race to me, to maybe have an arms race and overcome Bayern Munich, I think is part of the intriguing part of this league, because they are kind of the dominant juggernaut. They've got players like Robert Lewandowski, who is their, let's call him their top shot, right? 41 goals in 29 appearances to break a Bundesliga record last season. That's pretty incredible. So Bayern Munich is incredible in their own right. But if you look over at the challengers, you've got a team like Borussia Dortmund, my favorite team. They finished 3rd in the Bundesliga last year. They were the last team to win the Bundesliga before the Bayern Munich run of dominance started under a coach that everyone's probably pretty familiar with. Jurgen Klopp used to be at Dortmund, and they're kind of trying to reclaim some of that. Yeah, took him to a Champions League final, won back-to-back Bundesligas under Jurgen Klopp. Had some nice success there for Borussia Dortmund before moving on to Andy's team.
And to put this in Cash Saroy terms, they're the yellow and black team.
Yeah, the killer bees, if you will.
Plus, they have a pretty good young American.
Yes, and we will talk more about their young American here in just a little bit, because there are a lot of good young Americans that we should talk about in the Bundesliga. But for Borussia Dortmund, they've kind of missed some opportunities over the last several years, I would say, to overcome a Bayern Munich side that was in flux in a lot of different ways. And they missed those opportunities because they didn't really have their affairs in order, let's say, when it came to coaching, when it came to having players peak at the right time. Borussia Dortmund has that philosophy of buy young and then sell once they've maximized their young player value. You see Jadon Sancho moving from Dortmund to Manchester United this summer, which I'm sure Peter is quite pleased about. to have a good young...
Needless to say, yes.
Yes. And he tore up the Bundesliga, right? And so it's all about finding that sweet spot for Borussia Dortmund where they have players that are of a mature level and quality to also match with the coaching and to kind of match up their philosophy. They have to hit at just the right moment. This year, it's obviously all about Erling Haaland, who I know there have been a lot of rumors about him potentially coming to the Premier League. I don't think that that's going to happen.
He's a decent player.
That guy is legit. He is just an absolute unit out there on the field. He's huge, but can run. He's
That's a
fantastic...
That's a weird way to describe a man there, Tyler, but whatever.
Look, game recognized game, right? You got to appreciate what that guy can do.
But they've finished second 5 of the last 10 years. So they're the team that's almost getting Bayern, but never quite.
Exactly. And so you wonder, is this the year that Wile E. Coyote ever actually catches up with Roadrunner or not? And so is this going to be the year? Probably losing Jadon Sancho. I don't know. The other team that you could look at is RB Leipzig, the great villains of the Bundesliga.
And why is that?
Second last season.
Why are they the villains?
Big villains because they have kind of bucked the system. The Bundesliga has a rule called the 50+1 rule, which I think is especially pertinent in world soccer right now. But it says that fans have to control over half of the ownership, have to have the controlling stake. So fans can buy a stake in their team. They have to have the controlling stake in their team. Leipzig kind of skirts that in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of nuance to the argument, but basically, RB Leipzig is called RB Leipzig because they are owned by and controlled primarily by Red Bull, the energy drink company.
We'll call them the City and the PSG of Bundesliga then. That's exactly who they are. Okay, got it.
But the primary reason why this rule exists in Germany, and something worth knowing, is you look over at a club like PSG that is controlled by Qatar, right? And a lot of conversation has gone on around, should Messi, you know, the world's most recognizable figure in football and soccer, go play for a team that is controlled and run by a country,
a nation
in Qatar
state.
That thrives off of oil money and is building stadiums right now on the backs of basically slave labor in the Middle East for the World Cup in 2022. And
you're such a hippie, Debbie
Downer. Thanks.
Thanks for the upbeat news.
Let's talk about those Americans. Who is that coach, though,
at Leipzig? Tell me.
That is an exciting part, is that there's an American coaching RB Leipzig this season, Jesse Marsch, 47 years old, coached at New York Red Bulls, and then coached Red Bull Salzburg in Austria, now moves over and coaches in the Bundesliga for RB Leipzig. This is an exciting development.
Yeah, is this the biggest appointment for an American manager in outside of the U.S.? Maybe Bradley coaching the Egyptian national team?
Bradley also coached in the Premier League with Swansea for a hot second.
For about 3 minutes.
Right.
Yeah,
but this is a pretty big appointment, right?
This is a huge appointment to me. I mean, this is one of the three biggest teams in Germany. It's a real chance for an American manager who's proven himself at every stop along the way, right? Won supporter shields at New York Red Bulls, won the league for Red Bull Salzburg and had some nice moments in the Champions League. You think about that comeback against Liverpool where they had his halftime speech and it kind of went viral on Twitter and that sort of thing. Andy has selectively blocked that out. But they play that typical Red Bull style, really vertical and fun to watch, right? They're kind of an all-action style team.
So part of the reason why we've decided to do this is because of all the young American talent over playing in the Bundesliga. And we only have a couple of minutes left, but how many are, what is the actual number we're up to now?
Is it 6?
I think that's about right. We've had some departures with Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, and now most recently Josh Sargent leaving the Bundesliga.
Norwich, right, yeah.
So he's going over to Norwich. But the most exciting is easily 18-year-old Gio Reyna, son of Claudio Reyna, who is a longtime U.S. men's national team player, also played all around Europe at a lot of different spots, probably most notably Manchester City. But his son, Gio Reyna, 18 years old, regular starter for Borussia Dortmund last year as a 17-year-old, had 4 goals, 6 assists in 32 appearances. You'll see him regularly with the U.S. men's national team as well. And with Jadon Sancho gone, he's going to be a huge part of their offense. You also have Tyler Adams, 22-year-old defensive midfielder at RB Leipzig. He played under Jesse Marsch when they were both at the New York Red Bulls, and now he is with him once again at RB Leipzig. Has had a lot of injury problems and has played in a lot of different spots, but I think the most exciting thing for him is to get consistent minutes playing as a defensive midfielder, and it seems like Jesse Marsch is committed to playing him there, and that's a particularly exciting thing for me.
We have an FC Dallas Academy player as well, right? Chris Richards?
We do. Chris Richards, his situation's in a little bit of flux. 21-year-old center back, a guy really, really worth watching. His rights are owned by Bayern Munich. Chances are he's probably not going to play for Bayern Munich again this season. Went on loan halfway through last season to Hoffenheim and went right into their starting lineup and really showed, I think, that he belonged as a starter in the Bundesliga at age 20, now 21 years old. Probably going to go back to Hoffenheim. They've shown some interest in picking him up on loan or even signing him permanently. The problem with being a center back at Bayern Munich is if you're a starting center back at Bayern Munich, that means you're a top 10 center back in the world. So he could be fantastic, incredible center back for the U.S. men's national team, incredible representative for that FC Dallas Academy, all of those wonderful things that people love to heap on him, and still never start at Bayern Munich. So that's the reality of his situation. We'll just have to see where he ends up.
All right, Tyler. So is this another season where you're going to encourage the innocent P1 to support Union Berlin?
You know what? Union Berlin finished seventh last season.
They're in that new competition. What is that thing called again? The Euro?
Are they in the League's Cup?
Sure.
The one after the Europa League. What is that called?
I said the League's Cup.
League's Cup, is that
what
it's called?
I think it's called League's Cup.
I call it the NIT, but you know, you can call it whatever you want. But I'll encourage people, find a team. You'll enjoy the Bundesliga. Watch all the games on ESPN Plus, and we'll talk about it.
Who's that really good outside back that Bayern has?
Oh my gosh,
he's really fast.
Oh, Alphonso Davies,
he's
the Canadian,
good, right?
Yeah, he's quite good. And if you notice,
why are players you encouraging him?
Players go to Bayern Munich and get immediately jacked, and so he's good.
Yeah, he's put on some muscle. I saw a photo of him the other day. He does not look like the Alphonso Davies that left Vancouver
right?
a couple of years ago. No, he looks severe. All right, Tyler Kern, the new Kick Around Bundesliga correspondent. We love you, man. Thanks so much for all the information.
Love you guys.
When's the first soon. First game start on Saturday?
I believe Friday.
Oh, there's a game on Friday.
First game,
all right,
so,
and they're all on ESPN Plus, which is now weighted down by La Liga.
A Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar-less La Liga. But
yeah.
Bayern Munich, Borussia Mönchengladbach kick things off 1:30 p.m. Central Time on Friday. So
right.
Be there for it.
Thank you,
all
Tyler.
Right,
we'll hear more from the good Tyler Kern as the season goes on. And when we come back, we will get introduced officially to Italy's Serie A with Daniel Robertson next on the Kick Around. All right, coming up in about 10, 15 minutes, Andy and I will get into our Premier League predictions.
I'm here too.
We decide to let you. Yes, and Sam will have his predictions too.
Everton to win it all.
No, God, no.
We'll do that. Oh, and also who will get relegated before the end of the show. All right, now on the Ticket Buyers Barricade Hotline, we introduce a new person to the show, none other than Daniel Robertson. Robertson. I always get this screwed up. Sorry, Daniel.
No, no problem. Good to talk to you guys. I probably don't sound as good as Tyler, but we're talking Italy here, so the technology has to be at least a little bit behind.
Yeah.
Did you actually fly to Italy to call in from there to just give us the best possible...
All right.
Yes.
So Daniel is a well-known property here in the Dallas soccer area because he used to work for FC Dallas and he did this and that. But then he went on the most amazing adventure, and I still have never had the opportunity to sit and talk with Daniel about this. But the reason why we picked Daniel as our Serie A correspondent is because not too long ago, Daniel and his wife packed up their stuff and they moved to Turin, Italy, while he was working on the social media team for Juventus.
Not any club here. It's Juventus.
Yes. An unbelievable experience. Never would have thought that ever would have happened, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And, it was something I will never forget, and I could probably talk for about 3 hours sharing stories, but we'll save that for another
day. You've got a story about Buffon smoking cigarettes on an airplane that I want to hear someday, but what we really are hoping to get out of you here in the next several minutes is just kind of what we got from Tyler about the Bundesliga. What should people know about? I mean, the reason why we're doing this is there's so many kids from the Dallas area alone, not just Americans, that are now playing in Italy. What should people know if they're interested in getting into Serie A, and who should they follow?
Yeah, so, like Tyler said, so Serie A, it was on ESPN Plus last year. It's moved to Paramount Plus this year, so another streaming service. But, look, Paramount Plus has the Champions League, Europa League, and by the way, it's Europa Conference League, I believe.
Conference League. Thank you.
I think it's playing in, by the way. They've got NWSL, and they've actually got CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, too. So it's a good deal. And so they'll be on Paramount Plus. Now, there's a reputation in Italy, right, of Catenaccio, and you get a 1-0 lead, and they hold on to it, and there's no goals in Serie A. But last year, Serie A led the European leagues, top five European leagues in goals. It's a a very exciting league. And look, it's Italy. They love drama. They love to talk about the game. They love VAR. If you're a fan of VAR, you're going to love the Serie A.
Are there people actually fan of VAR, Daniel?
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's nothing they love more than arguing about a call on the field.
So you know? Everything goes to VAR.
Everything goes to VAR. I was thinking watching the Euros that there was about 10 handballs that didn't get called that would have been bang-on penalties in Serie A. And the big games always deliver, man. They're, you know, I think 3-2 Juve Inter. Both of the Milan derbies last year had three goals, you know, and it's a very, very exciting league these days. And by the way, a little team from Bergamo, which is basically like the Denton of Milan, was the second highest scoring team in Europe last year, finished third in Serie A. It's a great league, and I love for everyone to start, you know, getting more attached to it.
You know, that's a good point you make, too, about the Catenaccio not kind of being the thing anymore in Italy, and it's very reflective of their national team. Their national team has gotten away from that, right? And they just won Euros playing something very different than the old-fashioned Catenaccio. So what you're saying is we can watch league play and we'll get the same kind of entertainment we got from the national team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to talk about Serie A, you can't ignore the fact, you've already mentioned it a little bit, Donnarumma's leaving, Lukaku's leaving. There's a few big players, Hakimi, another player, you know, Inter won the league last year and they've basically sold every single good player off their team, and Antonio Conte has left. But the exciting part is the young players. You look at Juventus, okay, you think of Cristiano Ronaldo, but arguably the most exciting young player at the Euros was Federico Chiesa, who was absolutely amazing flying up and down the wings for Italy. They've got Dejan Kulusevski, who's a young Swedish player, super exciting. You know, so there is a lot of good young talent.
Weston McKennie.
Yeah, you're forgetting a certain Weston McKennie.
Oh, we'll get to him. Don't worry, we'll get to him.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, you know, but when you think about it also, right, where the real drama is, and Peter, I know your club, Fiorentina, they had this drama in the offseason.
Oh, his club. Come on, Daniel. But yes, go on.
Okay. 13 of the 20 teams in Serie A have new managers this year. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
That is nuts. Is that normal? I mean, is that kind of the common theme?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you talk about in Italy, there are people who have been directors of clubs for years and years and years, and they probably don't – the managers wear out their welcome. But looking at Fiorentina, they signed Gennaro Gattuso, ex-Rangers, ex-AC Milan, and 3 weeks later he quit. So they're on their second manager, brilliantly named Vincenzo Italiano. Sounds like
oh,
a
no.
Name. It's not. That's a real name. But look, Juventus, new manager. Roma, new manager. Jose Mourinho, by the way.
Wow.
Lazio has Sarri. Spalletti at Napoli. Inzaghi at Inter. Five of the top seven teams in the league last year have new managers. You just would never see that anywhere else.
That is unreal to think about that. And I'm sure, I mean, I guess the question is how much will that actually change how, you know, the typical order of things as the season goes on? That will definitely be something to keep an eye on. And, of course, the big thing that we all that's driving this decision for us to talk about this is the fact that there now is kind of a flood of American kids that are playing in Serie A.
Well, and not just Americans, but Dallas kids, right?
Right.
So you have Weston McKennie, who had a good season last year. I think he was a pleasant surprise at Juve. It was a tough year on the field, you know, finishing fourth and barely making it into Champions League is not acceptable for that club. But it was enough to get Juve to spend $20 million. Juve, a club that doesn't have a lot of money right now, to spend $20 million on Weston to lock him up. He's got a new manager in Allegri. So you're looking at a manager that I've seen up close and personal. He likes to play three in the midfield. There's a lot of competition there, but he rotates the squad a lot. So I think Weston will get a lot of time. Brian Reynolds, though, that's an interesting situation, right?
Poor Brian.
Jose Mourinho, he goes from Luchi Gonzalez, the same manager basically from the time he was about 13 years old until he left Dallas, and now Jose Mourinho is his manager. It's an interesting situation in Roma. Leonardo Spinazzola, who was one of the best players for Italy, tore his Achilles, if you remember, during the Euros. He was a very good player for them. So he's out. He was their starting right back. He's out. So that does open a spot. They loaned Alessandro Florenzi, who was in kind of an old guard Italian starting right back. They loaned him to PSG last year. He's back. So the question is, will Florenzi keep the spot? Will they loan him out again? They're playing in that Conference League as well. So there's going to be some minutes available for Reynolds. And then we haven't mentioned Venice. Like, imagine being a young player, Tanner Tessman. His options were Clemson, FC Dallas or Venice. Like, if you want to talk about me going to going to Turin, that's as crazy of a story as anyone. So, he and Gianluca Busio, it's kind of a weird purchase, right? Like,
yes.
They're a you talk about a small team, and they finished fifth in Serie B last year and got promoted in the playoffs. It's not like they were even a good team in Serie B. Like, they're not a top team. They're probably going to finish last. Do young players typically get minutes in those situations? You know, so we'll see.
I watched a few minutes of a YouTube set of highlights of Venezia playing a preseason game the other day, and they were terrible.
Oh no!
And they didn't have Tanner or Busio
at
the time.
They're going to come save the day then.
But
yeah.
and we'll talk about this as the season goes on, Daniel. Which is my concern that American kids are leaping at these opportunities. It's the Breck Shea syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Here's my offer to go to Europe. I'm going to grab it, but there's a really good chance that you may not have put yourself in the best position, because I worry that those two guys are going to go there. By the way, they kind of play the same position, so I'm not really clear how that's going to work out. But that aside, I worry about those guys going over there and just being chum in Serie A and how much that impacts their long-term career. But I digress.
And it's also very common to get loaned out to Serie B and even Serie C, as you'd say, Serie C teams. And you can kind of get lost in the mix real fast. So we'll see. I mean, you can't fault FC Dallas for selling them. It was a lot of money, but the player side of things, it's going to be interesting to see. And look, if it's Italy, it's never boring.
That's true. All right, Daniel, last question. If somebody spins the Serie A Wheel of Allegiance, what is the club they probably want?
Oh, Atalanta, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to mention the big teams. By the way, you've got Olivier Giroud and Zlatan Ibrahimovic on Milan, so that's not going to be boring. But look, I mentioned Atalanta. They were the second highest scoring team in Europe last year. They've kept most of their players. They sold their starting center back to Tottenham, which allows them to keep all of their forwards, two Colombians. You want to support Atalanta if you want the romantic team.
All right. And if you spin it, what is the team you do not want?
Oh, gosh. Let's go with Cagliari. They play on this island a little bit south of the mainland. They play the most boring soccer. They want to finish 16th every year and then go on vacation. Once they've locked up 16th, they go on vacation. You don't want Cagliari.
You know, Daniel, looking very much forward to you helping out with Serie A talk, but as part of that, it's going to be important to talk about food as well.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because Italian food is important.
I just want to hear the Buffon smoking cigarettes on an airplane.
And I want to hear food stories. So we'll do soccer sometimes.
I swear you have a Cristiano Ronaldo nipple story, too, I think you told me at some point.
I may have followed him around the day he joined Juventus, but we'll talk about that another day.
All right. Daniel Robertson, thank you so much. We look forward to having you, and welcome to the team, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. When we come back, it is that time. Premier League predictions from the crew next year on The Kick Around.
Over the years, I've been asked a lot by P1s where they can find a new Chelsea or Liverpool or Barcelona or Chivas jersey, and that answer's always been a little bit hit or miss until now. Soccer90.com is actually based here in North Texas. There's an actual store you can go visit up at Toyota Stadium next to the Hall of Fame in Frisco on Main Street. But you can do all your shopping at their site, soccer90.com. So, for example, if you want one of those new U.S. national team away shirts with the crazy red-blue design, they got those. You want a Weston McKennie Juve jersey? Of course you do. Got those. What about the new Chelsea jersey with Pulisic on the back? Got those. If you don't see what you're looking for, contact them and they'll try to get it for you. And by the way, it's not just jerseys. Scarves and balls and stickers and bags and jackets. A little bit of everything from teams all over the globe. And of course, all the FC Dallas stuff you could ever want, including the recently released Mitchell & Ness Dallas Burn Retro Collection, which is so sweet. Soccer90.com, the word soccer, the number 90.com. And because you're a good, sweet, clean P1, use the checkout code KICKAROUND and get 25% off your purchase at checkout. Soccer90.com.
Well, look at us. We're into the final segment of our special new season preview of The Kick Around. We will be back Saturday in our normal regular slot of 2 to 4.
So I don't have a Serie A team. You have Fiorentina.
Ooh.
But I gotta spin the wheel. So Saturday, huh?
Are we going to do it Saturday?
Yeah.
Because it's funny, I was just jerking around with the wheel on the new website, thekickaround.com, and I spun it for Serie A, and what came up? Venezia.
Oh, wow. Fate.
Well, looky there.
Is that going to be your team, or are you going to stick with Fiorentina?
No, Fiorentina's my team.
Okay. We've got a lot of spins to do on Saturday, because I think all three of us need a Serie A, need Bundesliga teams.
We'll spread it out. We don't have to do it all at one time.
I can't delay gratification.
You can go on the website and do it then.
No, I want to do it on the air. No, that's
when
it's official.
Do it on air,
oh,
Peter.
So you want to be on air?
I want to be held accountable for my choice.
I will trust you.
You shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I want to be held accountable for my choice.
That's sad.
You haven't learned yet.
By the way, if you haven't heard the news, we do have a new website, thekickaround.com, and at the bottom of the main page, there is a wheel for the Premier League, a wheel for Bundesliga, and a wheel for Serie A. And it was suggested on Twitter that we should also have an MLS wheel.
Yes.
But no matter how many times you spin it.
You're going to say it instead of just going with it.
Yeah. It should always come up FC Dallas.
It'd be a fun bit if we did it and it always came up FC Dallas.
We can still do it. Wahoo! Nobody's listening to this.
Okay. Well, that's a good point.
All right. It is that time of year for us to make our predictions. And so included in this round are myself and Andy. I also have Lars's predictions. Lars Siverston, he gave those to me.
Okay.
He actually recorded them, but they're really, really long.
He's the real pundit.
Is it brief?
No, it's not brief. It's long and thoughtful and well explained, but it's too much.
But chaotic.
We don't have enough time
to chaotic.
Do it. And Sam has inserted himself into making predictions too. Okay. So. We will start with the teams that shall be relegated. And Lars actually brings up an interesting idea. Now, Lars is suggesting that for the first time in Premier League history, the three teams that were promoted will be the three teams that get relegated,
and he got,
which are Norwich, Watford, and Brentford.
He got that info from a website, I think it was NBC, that is wrong.
Is it wrong?
Yeah, because in 98-99, that season, Bolton Palace and Barnsley all went up and went down.
Well,
I looked it up because he was unsure. I also listened to his little segment, and he was like, I don't know if... His instincts told him that it perhaps was wrong what he was reading.
Well, he also wasn't 100% confident in this. But he was sticking to Brentford, Watford, and Norwich.
The three promoted teams are all going right back down.
Now, he did also share that only five times in Premier League history have two of the promoted teams been relegated.
I found that surprising, right?
Yeah.
I figured it would be more.
Hopefully, Lars's facts on that were not incorrect.
Yeah, right.
All right, Sam, who are your relegated teams?
So I have one team that came up going back down. I have Watford going back down. I have Wolves going down.
What?
Yeah, I think the Wolves. It's an out of the box pick, but I think with NES gone,
bold.
I just think something's. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I don't feel good. I also think this might be the death nail for Crystal Palace. I think that could be a fire sale at the winter window. The first year manager, it could go great, but I'm not feeling great.
So those aren't bad picks actually, and that's a bold pick for Wolves. That's not out of the question. Palace, I predicted to get relegated 2 years ago. Peter predicted them to get relegated last year.
Yeah, continuing
this year, so it's a kick-around tradition.
Unlike any other.
Sorry to my friend Sally, who is probably not happy about that. All right, Andy, who are your three teams?
I am also going to pick Watford, up and down. And then I have Newcastle, again, to get relegated. I picked them last year, and I was wrong.
Oh, Buzz is going to be
And Buzz
so
is going to be mad again. So part of the reason is I do want to keep
Saroy.
Him angry.
Mike Saroy.
And Saroy, yeah. And then this one is my out-of-the-box one, Southampton.
Ooh. Interesting. They did sell off their center back today.
Yes, and they haven't Vestergaard, gotten any better.
The big Dane.
Yeah. You.
All right. Mine, I will start with the team that I really don't want to see because I'm really fascinated to see what this little team does this year, Brentford. Yeah, the Brentford Bees. So, yeah. Their new stadium. They're kind of a money ball team. Yeah. They're really interesting outside of London team. I'm really glad that they've made it into the Premiership.
How are they going to get relegated as a money ball team? They know what's going on. Okay. They'll have everything figured out.
And believe it or not, much to my friend Sally's chagrin, I am going to pick Palace again. And the reason why, and Sam is right about this, I saw a little bit of Vieira's coaching at NYCFC, and he wasn't a big hit at Nice either. So plus their star player doesn't want to be there.
He wants to come to Everton.
Right. He wants to be anywhere but there, and I just don't think he wants to do that. So I'm picking Palace to go down, and the one that I think is going to hurt the most, because somebody on the show is going to be really mad at me.
Oh, no. Don't do this.
Oh, I couldn't do it. You did it, huh?
Don't do it.
You did it. I can't believe this.
Burnley.
No.
Burnley. You did this to Josh.
Is going down the toilet.
You're going to have to explain this to him on Saturday.
Look, they have been treading water. Burnley this season suddenly now has the feel of Bournemouth from a couple of years ago, where you just a coach and a team that just kind of treaded water and sat in the middle of the pack for so long. Even Burnley had that one season where they got all the way to the Europa League, and then that season killed them.
They have grit. They're spitting fire. They pull things out.
Josh is going to be so disappointed.
That's weird.
What?
So, will you save that, please?
We're definitely going to hold on to that.
All right. So, Brentford, okay. Crystal Palace, and Burnley are my three. All right. So, Lars, in terms of top seven, we are doing top seven.
We always
Sam,
do because...
let's do your top seven first.
Good God. Do you want to go 1-7 or 7-1?
7-1, please.
Okay.
Sir.
Number seven, Liverpool.
Whatever. It's
not
going
to happen.
I am going to really regret letting Sam announce his prediction.
I think they're going to finish seventh. Number six?
Based on what? Like, give me one sentence explanation of how Liverpool is going to end up seventh.
I think this is the year that the Klopp style finally wears on the players. The injuries pile up, and this is the year it finally collapses. I might be a year ahead of time.
That's a run-in sentence.
You just said a sentence.
Who's your six?
Who's your six?
Boys, I believe in hot Miguel Arteta and Arsenal at six.
Okay.
I think they're going to pull it together. I don't think they were bad last year, but I don't think they were as bad as they need to be.
Okay.
At five, give me the Hammers of West Ham.
Oh.
I don't think it was a mirage.
That's a suck-up job right there to the Catman.
I mean, I already lost a job this week. I don't really need to do it again, so this is a genuine pick.
Oh, no.
Four, and this is the bold one, Aston Villa. Losing Grealish, but getting $100 million, getting Danny Ings, and redistributing that money.
Okay, I think you can't
laugh at predictions. You know, you're stepping up to the mic. Right.
I think there's a lot of money coming in off the Grealish transfer. They're going to redistribute it.
It's a bold pick.
It's going to be a little bit more evenly distributed. I think they can do it.
They'll lose the prediction game, but it's a bold pick.
Yeah. Number three, I have City. Number two, I have United. And Chelsea finishing first. I believe in Chelsea. I'm not as down on the Lukaku transfer as you are, Peter.
Okay.
I think Tuchel has found something. I can't fully explain it. They've got a lot of talent. I think if they're in a title hunt, come the next transfer window, that Russian oil money will spill in and buy them what they need, and they can finish the top of the
table. Thank you, Sam. Congratulations, Sam, on your first set of predictions on the kick around.
Let's hear Lars's.
Lars has Leicester sitting at seventh. Now, that was largely based on the fact that they hadn't bought Vestergaard to replace Fofana, because they're playing three in the back, and he was a little worried about that. He has Tottenham at six. He has Arsenal at five. And in his top four, in this order backwards, Man U, Liverpool, Chelsea, and then City. Although, to be fair to Lars, he was very shaky on all of this, especially in the top four. He was not really super solid on any of those.
All right, so
let's do.
Picks.
How about you and I? We'll do 7-4. Okay,
7-6-5. Let's do
7-6-5. So for me, 7-6-5. I have Arsenal in seventh. I have Leicester in sixth, and Tottenham in fifth. I really like Nuno so much. I know a lot of people are not super high on his appointment at Spurs. I think Kane is going to end up staying, making the best of it. You know, if they buy a couple of the other guys that they've been rumored to be purchasing, I'm going to be hopeful for Spurs. I'm going to be the lone holdout of hope for Tottenham Hotspur this year and have them in fifth.
All right. I have the Hammers in seventh. I have Leicester in sixth. And I have Arsenal in fifth.
Arsenal is such a hard team to pick. I mean, it would not surprise me if at the end of the season, Arteta is no longer the coach and they're sitting like in eighth place again.
They have a good young team if he can bring that around.
But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me to see them end up in fifth.
Right, which is where Lars and I both...
Right.
Lars also had him there.
Yes, now, Lars also has him in fifth.
Missing from my top three is Spurs, which I think is going to go the other way.
You think they're going to fall apart.
I think even if Kane stays, there's going to be this, like, Kane's not happy there kind of theme, at least early on, and it's going to take a while for them to rectify that and get the shit together.
All right. You want me to do fourth?
So I'll tell you my fourth.
Okay.
Liverpool.
Really?
Homer.
Yeah. No, why? Top four. That's solid. That's Europe. That's a goal. That's great. What are you talking about?
By the way, who has the easiest run of schedule in the league?
Yeah, you told me this.
For the first 10 weeks of the season, it is Liverpool.
So, which is great.
Norwich, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds, Crystal Palace, Brentford, City, Watford, United, and Brighton. Everton has the second easiest schedule, according to the pundits.
Finally, justice.
Going into this.
Who do you have fourth?
I also have Liverpool.
Okay.
So, for number three, I have United.
Okay, and I also have United.
I'm really nervous about United this year. They could go in one of two. I don't think
like nervous they won't finish top four or nervous.
I nervous that they could like really make a run at winning this thing and all the way to like maybe not finishing top four. I really don't know how this is going to shake out.
No, they're solid. So I'll give you my top two.
I can talk myself into the idea that their failure to buy a holding mid is going to ruin everything else, and I can also talk myself into the idea that getting Varane and Sancho actually helps solve the McFred problem without getting another player.
All right. First and second, City finishes second to Chelsea. City finishes second to Chelsea.
Oh, just like I had it, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly how I have it. I have Chelsea.
High fives, everybody.
I have Chelsea winning it and City second.
Actually, yeah. I have United second. But
I think by spring, Pep is going to be gunning for Champions League, and it's going to affect priorities, and Chelsea's going to end up squeaking.
I'm telling you, if Tuchel fails to win almost everything, I would be worried about his position. Based on how Abramovich runs that club.
If he finishes second, is he gone? No. No.
There were lots of people that were worried about his future after losing the FA Cup and worried that they wouldn't win Champions League.
For United, is it an okay season if you finish top four and not win the league?
Two or three. Four, no.
Okay. Even though three and four is same thing.
Yeah. Ole's got a lot of work to do.
Okay.
For sure, for sure. All right, we are back Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll be talking all about the games. Arsenal-Brentford is the first game up on Friday. That game's at 2 o'clock. And all of those games will be on NBC and Peacock. All right, thank you to Sam. Thank you to Matt and Daniel and Tyler. And Lars, P1s, we love and adore you. Talk to you on Saturday. Go on, get out, get stuck in, and win your 50s.
We have an FC Dallas Academy player as well, right?
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM Flower Mound.